with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonantoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome to the Tuesday edition of the Lombardi Line, presented by BetMGM. Dave Ross, Mike Pritchard coming at you for the next 2 hours. Pritch, it is always good to catch up with you, my friend, and talk all things sports, especially when we get to our football conversation.
Right, and we're not even injured. Like, normally no. You come in with some type of injury, but you're good right now.
Well, I did ask you before the show. Got a little back tweak. Okay. I'm talking to a guy that was in a weekly car crash in the NFL for years, made your living that way, and I'm complaining about a bad back.
It's like every show we do together, you have some type of injury or some type of situation going
on. I'm playing hurt, Pritch. That's what I always do.
All right.
We do have a lot to get to today. Obviously, going to talk all things NBA, NHL playoffs. I'm going to catch up with Will Hill from New York, the king of New York, as I like to say, a little bit later on in this hour, and Josh Applebaum in hour number two as we ship up to Boston. But I wanted to begin today's conversation with something I saw yesterday on the Twitter machine. Now, not only are people betting your Colorado Buffaloes not to win the Pac-12, not to get to the college football playoff, but to win the whole kit and caboodle.
Right.
How about this?
Yeah.
Over 8% of the wagers that are being taken right now to win the CFP, last year of the college football playoff, by the way. At 250-1, your Colorado Buffaloes. Pritch, you know I'm excited for you. I'm excited for CU Nation. Is this money that is just being burned, or is there actually a window that you could see in year one that Deion Sanders makes the books regret putting that number up?
I mean, year one, okay. If this was year two, absolutely, I'd be all over this. Now, I'm all over the win total, though.
Oh.
You know, like three and a half, depending on where you shop. I've already placed that bet.
Yeah.
You know,
because that's going to get inflated.
Yeah, I think it will as we get closer to the season and fall camp. And then when people actually look at the caliber of athlete that has arrived at CU on campus, it's so different than what it used to be. Like all those kids that left and all those kids that got shown the door, if you will, you know, it's a different level of athlete now. And I said this yesterday on Lombardi Line. I said it on the network that the hard part, especially when CU won one game last year, has not been relevant for over a decade.
Wow.
Now all of a sudden that's changed just because of this man right here, Coach Prime. And the hardest part was convincing the level of athlete that goes to Alabama, that goes to Georgia, that goes to Clemson, that goes to Ohio State, that goes to Michigan, convincing them to say, look at CU and attend CU, right? Great institution. You're going to get a great degree. But in terms of playing high-level football, that was not the case for a long time. So that was the hard part. The easy part, and believe me when I say this, the easy part will be for those coaches and that staff to roll up their sleeves, right? And then get after it with those players and coach those players and help those players develop. That's the easy part. So if you ask me, I think the over, I think I saw a 3.5 earlier, three, but, you know, just shop around. I'm all over that. I already placed that bet.
Well, here's my question, because you're one of the few people that know old Deion from your playing days in the ATL to new Deion now coaching your alma mater, right? So that's kind of you get the rare window into what he was like as a player, knowing at the highest level as he's ascending to be, if not the greatest corner of all time, one of the greatest to ever play. Is football football? And look, he took the Jackson State job and he didn't have coaching experience and they gave him the job and it worked. Right. Mm-hmm. And now he comes here. Some are going to say, now you're swimming with the big dogs and you can't really swim in these ponds of the big Pac-12 with this limited coaching experience. Or is it, it's the game is the game and he knows how to get the best out of kids.
You know, Deion is one of those players that has ascended to lofty levels, right? Like Hall of Fame status. You think about the great Larry Bird, the great Magic Johnson, Isaiah Thomas. I mean, all these people that could not coach because of their standards, right?
Yeah, because their own personal expectations.
Exactly,
right?
Exactly. They couldn't deal with the fact that those guys couldn't relate to them. But that's why Deion's in college, though. Because if he was in the National Football League, I don't think he would be that effective. And he said that as much.
Hmm.
Like I can't coach rich people.
they already got the money.
Right, they got the money. I can't relate to them or I can't coach them. I mean, that's me. but he's in a different realm when you're coaching college kids that are looking for that instruction and they're looking for that path, that blueprint on you know, the road to success, if you will. And I think Deion does a great job of conveying that and providing that for athletes, and that's why he's been effective, you know. And it doesn't matter the level. Yeah, he's not a career-minded coach. He has never been that. But he was a coach as a player, though, right? And people don't realize that. Eric Bieniemy, a great example, great coach as a player. There's a number of coaches, Frank Reich, right? I mean, go on and on and on. As former players transitioning to coaches, they were great coaches, but they were players as well. And so I think Deion, even though he achieved what he achieved in terms of being a Hall of Famer and one of the best players, and it doesn't matter the position, one of the best players to ever play the game, he's able to be relatable and then certainly have the credibility as a coach too.
It is fascinating to see, and again, that is over 8%. That's the biggest liability right now for BetMGM. Is the fact that the Colorado Buffaloes are the one that, I mean, that's just, it's got to be shocking to you from where they were a year ago to where they are now, right?
Totally.
But this is the reality of where you bring in a guy like Deion Sanders, it the excitement level, and it's showing right now in the betting community, is through the roof.
Well, in Colorado, I mean, it's been a minute or two, maybe even five, that Colorado has this had this level of excitement.
Fascinating.
So there's a lot of people out there, and you can bet out there in Colorado now. You know, people are running and you know, the lotto ticket, right? I think that's what they're doing. But it's not spread across the spectrum from a betting standpoint. So you gotta understand, in Colorado, it's been a long time. It's since I was there, perhaps. In terms of the level of excitement for the program right now.
It's wild. I can't wait to see what happens. I know a lot of people think it's either going to be wildly successful or it's going to crash and burn. But I think there is a kind of a medium window there, too, in year one, that it doesn't have to be all or nothing, that it could be a 6-7 win season. Mm-hmm. And that would be unbelievable, considering this is a one-team win a year ago.
Sure. I mean, the conference, too. But then, I mean, I looked at the prices. I mean, okay, plus 130 for over a 3.5 win situation. Okay, you know, why isn't the odds different than that?
Right.
But so plus 130 was respectable. So I think it's going to change again as we get closer to the fall camp. And then really when you look at the level of athlete that is there at CU right now.
All right, I'm not going to take one of those flyers on 250.
No.
But I might dabble in the win total for the over.
There you go.
I want to get to some NBA here very quickly. We got a couple games today that we're going to talk about. Of course, the Sixers have kind of resurrected their season here. 2-2 against Boston. And also Phoenix, they're down 0-2. They go back to Denver tonight for game five. They're catching 5.5 on the road. But very quickly, last night, Golden State, in that game against, it was a great basketball game. I've been on the Warriors. I had a ticket for them before they played Game 7 against Sacramento, over $5 to win the West. I thought really they kind of gave one away last night. Mm-hmm. That felt like it was there. Lonnie Walker, an incredible fourth quarter. My question to you, as a guy that's won championships at the highest level, are the champs done? Are we ready to cook Golden State?
Well, no. I mean, you never say that. I mean, the champs are going to rely on home court, but they got to rely on other players. I mean, I think Clay is going to have a different game. Poole might show up somewhere, you know, from wherever he's at. And then you're going to get the support for Curry, you know. Just watching that game down the stretch last night, Dave, you know, and it's a close game too. And you battle back if you're the Lakers, you're at home.
Mm-hmm.
But I think from defensive standpoint, who do you have to take away? Who do you have to guard if you're the Lakers, especially at home? And that's one player if Golden State's on the road. They're looking for one guy. Poole took a shot at home, you know, and you think about, you know, a shot that probably shouldn't have taken.
Right, and the game one.
Yeah, exactly. So then all of a sudden, okay, where's the confidence levels going to be? Okay, you're going to get the rock to Steph, especially if the same situation arises. And if you're the Lakers, you know that. And so you guard him with LeBron, and then you put AD on him. I don't care how great Steph is, and he's great, one of the greatest of all time, but you have a tree or a skyscraper in front of you, right? And you're trying to launch it too. So I just thought, you know, and there's other ways you can look at the game in which the Lakers took advantage of mistakes for Golden State. It's the home court advantage. It was the comfort that a Walker had because you got AD finally playing to his. Man. He's turning into Giannis to me in terms he's so dominant, attacking the rim, his back to the basket. He's got a shot, a mid-range shot that you can't contend with, you can't cover. And it's like, where is he broken out of a shell from? Because this guy has really found another level, and that's been beneficial with the greatest player in the game right now, and that's LeBron James.
And right now, the Lakers are the betting favorite to win the West. They're plus $1.40. And obviously, with that 3-1 lead, you say you can understand that. But we're talking about a team that before the playoffs were decided had a 3% chance of making the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And now they're the favorites to win the West.
Man, they are.
Plus $1.40. That is insane.
Plus 300 to win it all. I mean.
And then one of the short shots on the board to win the championship.
Right.
That's how crazy this has become. Look, you still want to back the Warriors, which I don't want to any longer. I feel like I might be sitting on some dead money. They're 9-1 to win the West now. Now, look. You do go, okay, game five's back in San Fran. If there's a game six, it's in L.A., and then game seven would be back at home court. Mm-hmm. So, yes, you got to win one, but if you can sneak one away. It felt like last night was the sneak one away from L.A. game.
Right.
And they kind of let that go.
Yeah, they did let it go. A lot of mistakes, too, and uncharacteristic mistakes that way, too, when you think about the pedigree of that team. The thing about last year, though, with the Warriors, welcome back, Clay.
Yeah.
You got the lift, and then Poole came out of nowhere. Now it's different because teams are locked in, right? Steph is Steph, but the stars have been canceling each other out, and it doesn't matter the series.
Right.
It's, you know, they talk about this. Everybody talks about this. The role players, who's going to step up? I thought Walker had zero pressure on him when you have the superstars going at it the way that they were. But then if you're Golden State, you had one guy.
That's it.
Very effective.
And he had to play point guard last night.
Exactly.
Couldn't even run off screens.
Exactly.
By the way, if you like the Knicks, they're down 3-1. They're 100-1 to win the championship.
Okay.
They might actually be done. I'm not ready to say that about Golden State. All right, much more in the NBA playoffs and the NHL as the show proceeds. But when we come back, guys coming out of retirement in the NFL, could it be my partner to my left? Mike Fritz? No, we're going to talk about another guy that might be coming back. That's next in the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It is time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. BetMGM has all of your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and much, much more. Download the BetMGM app today or stop by any MGM casino on the Strip with your state-issued ID to open up an account and start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in the state of Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. If you have a problem, call 1-800-522-4700. Back alongside Mike Pritchard, Dave Ross here. We are at Circus Sportsbook in fabulous Las Vegas, Nevada. Going to round out the NBA conversation. We talked about the Warriors being on the brink, down 3-1 to the Lakers. Maybe we get a new champion. The Knicks are down 3-1. I heard, I don't want to call out Mike Greenberg because he was paraphrasing Jalen Rose, who obviously played a lot. They said that the humidity in South Beach might be affecting the Knicks.
Okay.
Just hanging around there.
Not the beach.
I mean, there is air conditioned in the arena.
Not the clubs.
Right. Not. They're trying to put those rumors to bed.
Right.
Are the Knicks put to bed? Now, again, they're kind of being in that same scenario. They're going to get back game five here at Madison Square Garden tomorrow night. But you're going to have to win down there in sweaty South Beach at some point.
Yeah.
And then try to get it back home for a game seven in the Garden.
You know, it's how do you summarize what's going on in this series? I mean, I don't know how you do it because, you know, the numbers and all the information you want to gather, you know, an underachieving Heat team all year long.
Totally.
Outside of Butler, right? And Adebayo, and, you know, you got these players, Love. I mean, you're like, okay, how are you looking at betting this series, right? And the addition of Brunson with the Knicks, okay, you know, you got Randall and his situation, but I can't put my thumb on it other than the fact that there's still pedigree with the Heat.
Yeah. Like,
there's no numbers that make sense to me. There's no analytics or there's nothing data out there to really help me make a wager on this series right now or really call it what's going on with the Heat outside of the pedigree. That's something. You know,
pedigree is
a mindset, Dave, and you know, and it's rare to see teams or certain players just flip it. Or flip the switch on, right, and then carry people too. But what Butler has been doing, and certainly the coaching aspect too, I think is really beneficial for the Heat right now.
No question. Look, you got to lay $8 if you think Miami's going to get it done. For historical connotations, they're 14-0 when they've had a 3-1 lead in a best of seven. The Knicks have never come back from a 3-1 deficit in their history. So history says this thing's cooked. Now, the Knicks are kind of getting out-nicked right? Because they're the physical, tough group that gets every loose ball and every. That's what Miami's doing. At least they did in the fourth quarter yesterday to kind of keep them at arm's length. It is Jimmy Butler has the opportunity to go to rarefied air if he can complete this series and pull off what would be an upset, whether it's against Philadelphia or Boston, and get back to the bubble final like they did in 2000 when Jimmy took him there. Like, playoff Jimmy is like a real thing now. Like, this isn't fabricated. I know they're the eighth seed, but they are not playing well, and they're down two players.
They
don't have Victor Oladipo. They don't have Tyler Hero. And yet, without two key cogs, they just keep the machine rolling.
Well, I'm just going with the theme of this of the playoffs right now for the NBA, for the association. I mean, stars are canceling each other out, right? And so, star power for the Knicks.
You know, where is
Brunson,
it?
Right? You know, Randall.
They're not into Jimmy Butler.
No, exactly. Yep. So, you know, if Butler is exceeding that, or at least neutralizing whatever the Knicks are producing, okay, then it's everybody else too, right? And so that's what, you know, I refer to coaching and the pedigree aspect of what's going on with Miami. I mean, it's clearly underachieved all year long. But Budenholzer's done. Milwaukee underachieved. You know, you look at
But Milwaukee's going to be kicking themselves. I mean, and I know Coach Bud doesn't have a job anymore because they lost to Miami in the first round. But you look at this series, and it just feels like the sleepwalker of the series that people are kind of forgetting about. Meanwhile, if they get business done tomorrow night, look, they're a dog in the garden tomorrow night. They're going to be sitting waiting.
I know.
Jimmy's ankle, he's going to get a new ankle by the time they start the next series.
Right, with the pedigree, too. So a lot of momentum on their side. That's all. I don't know if that's enough to bet, right? But they are dealing right now, playing very well.
Got him before the series at plus $1.45.
Yeah. Oh, did you?
Just one more Miami.
What made you do that?
You know, it was Jimmy Butler.
Okay,
it really was. Okay. At that point, I went, you know, after watching the first round and the upset of Milwaukee in round one, I went, well, who on the Knicks can combat Middleton and Giannis? Like, Giannis is the freak of freaks.
Right.
But New York doesn't have it even close to an equivalent. I love Jalen Brunson. I love his game. By the way, Knicks 3.5-point favorites. Mm-hmm. That total was 210 last night. Landed 210.
Yeah.
209.5. Mm-hmm. So it just feels like to me, Miami, Spoelstra's Hall of Fame coach. No disrespect to Tom Thibodeau. I think he's done a great job with this group. Mm-hmm. But I think, forget about the Heat in South Beach. Forget about what other excuse. I just think the Heat are better.
Yeah.
Their A game is better than the Knicks A game.
As far as continuity, adjustments, all that, certainly favors the Heat. I mean, everything from a playoff standpoint, Brunson being new and all that. So you got to factor that in, I believe, in your handicap. So it's playing out a little bit too, you know, in terms of being disjointed at times, but then Butler being able to rise or to become the player that he's turned into or always has been.
Yeah.
But here you go again in the playoffs, though, with the Miami Heat.
He has missed one game. That's the only game the Knicks won, and that was life or death without Jimmy Butler in the lineup. I wouldn't put it past Miami and Jimmy Buckets to get it done tomorrow night. They are plus $1.45 to get it done in Game 5. We'll talk more NBA later on in the program with the games today, but I do want to get to some of the news and notes around the NFL. One of them really caught my attention, and that is – look, I love Twitter. I think it's fun to get on there and troll and have a good time with it. Jim Irsay likes Twitter. Jim Irsay is the owner of the Indianapolis Colts, and he seems hell-bent on saying, if anybody wants to talk to my guy, Andrew Luck is still my guy. Andrew Luck, we're still talking about. So he said if any NFL team attempted to contact Andrew Luck or any associate of him to play for their franchise, it would be a clear violation of the league's tampering policy. What's going on here, Pritch?
Well, somebody called his agent or somebody called his father or somebody close to Andrew Luck to say, look, is he interested in football?
That's Do you want to come back, Andrew?
Sure, right. But Irsay is making it known to everybody that they still have the rights to Andrew Luck. And the reason why that came into play is because they drafted Anthony Richardson. So they've moved on, you know, in terms of who they want their franchise quarterback to be. Eventually, obviously, they have. You know, I think even with Matt Ryan and Carson Wentz and Nick Foles and whoever else they had at quarterback, the door was probably still open for Andrew Luck. You still want to come in here and play? I mean, you're welcome, right? You're more than welcome. But now you move on because you drafted Anthony Richardson. Maybe there was some people out there that took a shot at it. But I saw Andrew Luck last year, at the College Football Hall of Fame, and he gave the speech, and he did not look like he was playing football.
He feels like an enigma wrapped inside of a riddle. Like,
well,
is he just?
He doesn't look the same.
Right, physically, he's not the same guy.
Right, and so it's going to take him a number of months just of training just to get back into where he needs to be as a quarterback in the National Football League. So, but Ursay, he heard something, obviously heard something. And so
it tweaked him.
Right.
There's no doubt he was tweaked by that tweet.
Well, not only that, but he wants compensation too, though, right? You know, if Andrew Luck is entertaining some type of comeback, if not this year, maybe next year, Ursay, he wants some type of compensation for him.
It's not a rumor. It's my buddy John Keim of the Washington Post, and does great work at ESPN, or now, okay, I think just at ESPN. John is the one that reported that essentially the Commanders, mm-hmm, were the team in question to look at and inquire and kick the tires if Andrew Luck still wanted to play. But Ursay just put that out there very quickly that, hey, you want to talk to that guy or any associate with
that's tampering,
then you need to talk to me because that's tampering, right? And we saw this happen to the Dolphins.
Yeah.
Where they didn't have a first-round pick this year with tampering. So
owner got suspended.
And, right, Stephen Ross, yeah, no relation. Well, so like, these things happen. But
Washington,
like,
doesn't have an owner right now. So,
oh!
I mean,
so technically,
an owner waiting. Right? Exactly.
What is who's Snyder doing the tampering?
Sure, exactly. I mean, Snyder and his wife, I believe, don't even live in the country right now.
Yeah, Tanya, I don't know where they are these days. They're out.
Yeah, that sale is pending.
So so you think this is really a whole lot of nothing? Or do you think, like, because, I mean, it does feel like forever and a day that we've talked about Andrew Luck. Well, not to say that the Commanders would be the spot. Sam Howell is supposed to be the starting quarterback. They're 9-1 just to win the division this year in the NFC East, so they are the longest of long shots. But I don't know that it's more than Ron Rivera saying, well, let me just see,
right,
if there's any interest here.
Well, yeah, I mean, you look at the Washington franchise, from a quarterbacking standpoint, you don't know what direction they're going to go in, right? But Is there information, or is there the notion that Andrew Luck is working out again or training? You know, there
just
could
seems like
be.
It's really out of left field.
Yeah, well, somebody close to Andrew Luck might have put it out there too, right?
And,
you just never know with these things. But I'm here to tell you, this was last winter,
mm-hmm,
out here in Vegas, just several months ago, and I mean, I'm out of shape, right? But that guy is nowhere near the shape he was in when he was often injured and hurt. And
how many years removed from the game did you ever keep the door open in the back of your mind?
Like, 2 years. That,
2 years.
2 years. Yep.
So that window's closed for Andrew Luck.
You would think it'd be unprecedented, right? I mean, Randall Cunningham comes to mind, but I don't think Randall was out this long.
If anybody wants to call me, there's no tampering involved. Give me a shout. When we come back, I want to talk some more NFL and maybe another quarterback that could be, I don't know, maybe looking over his shoulder for somebody else to come on in and play. Come on back. It's the Lombardi Line. You're on VSiN.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
There sure is a lot to wager on in the next 30 days, and for a limited time, you can subscribe to VSiN for just $9.99. That gets you insight into daily baseball, best bets, NBA, and NHL playoffs. Only VSiN Pro subscribers get access to our daily recap of the top plays made by VSiN show hosts and guests. Tools like our betting splits to let you see where the money and bets are moving for every single game. Also, a top VSiN experts leaderboard to view betting records, profit, ROI, see which VSiN expert has the current hot hand. Sign up now for just $9.99 at VSiN.com/subscribe. Alongside a former first-round pick in the NFL, of course, national champion a couple times over at Colorado, Mike Pritchard. I am fascinated by it when I look ahead at what the Titans might do next year. Now, we know they still have, I think, the best wide receiver ever to play quarterback in the NFL in Ryan Tannehill. I don't know how great or good a quarterback he is. He's good. He's serviceable. But Peter King of NBC Sports is saying that Will Levis, mm-hmm, who we remember, somehow slipped out of the first round. I think it was a 97 percentile chance he was going to go in the top 10. He didn't. He goes in the second round, day two. That they're saying that they got maybe one more playoff push with Tanny at quarterback.
And Peter King said this?
Yeah.
Okay.
If it doesn't work out, and they start off slowly,
right,
we go right to the kid, which means we're bypassing the Malik Willis experience, mm-hmm, altogether.
Glossed over that thing.
And it's done. Come and gone.
Right, right.
What do you make of this report? Because,
I mean,
do you want to see Will Levis play as a rookie and see what you have?
First of all, Peter King has been on a roll lately, right? I mean, there was this resurrection of Peter King now, breaking stories and breaking news.
What's he, 30 again? Out there on the beat?
I mean, he had it not too long ago that the NFL is going to delay the releasing of the schedule. Like, I get it. You want your name and the headlines again. You want people talking about you, right? And he's got a podcast now. I mean, Peter King is piped in everywhere again.
Wow. It's old. Everything old is new again. Right. I love it.
Now, Peter King has been phenomenal, though.
Yes.
I mean, I don't want to diss him.
No.
But my goodness, pump the brakes a little bit with all these breaking news stories. Who knows what? I mean, the whole Malik Willis thing. All right. I mean, that was a mistake. Obviously, they're trying to make up for it. Will Levis fell to them too. So if you're Tennessee and you're in that market Tannehill lame duck kind of situation, yeah, we want to start looking towards the future. I don't know if they're in that run for a Super Bowl title again, even with Tannehill, because they were trying to trade Henry. The roster, they got rid of A.J. Brown. I mean, it's like they're in transition a little bit, but still trying to remain competitive, all right?
Right,
but
they're stuck in the middle,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, but look at the rest of the division, though. I mean, I think the division has not only caught up to where Tennessee was, but maybe have passed them up, right? And I think defensively, retooling a little bit in the aging situation. So I'm not falling for that story from Peter King.
The Titans are plus 350, dropped down a little bit to win the South. Okay, you see the Jags are the big favorites, if that's a big favorite, at -$1.60 after what they did. And remember, the Jags and Titans played that last game of the year, and you took a quarterback off the street for Mike Vrabel and almost got it done.
Right.
Jags did rally in that fourth quarter and get that win. You know, I think I told you this story before. When I was leaving Washington, D.C., Lorenzo Alexander and I, buddies, played for the in D.C. for a number of years before he was moving on to Arizona. And I'll never forget talking to Zoe off the record. And I said, man, good luck in Arizona. I said, you don't have a quarterback. And he looked at me and goes, what are you talking about? I go, you got Carson Palmer. I mean, dude's 1,000. He goes, no. He goes, D, he goes, we want to play with veterans. And he was a veteran.
Right.
Right? And he's like, No, guys in the league look at it differently than media and fans go, play the kids. Let's see what you got with Malik. Let's see what you got, you know, with Levis. And some of the veterans go, no. We want the guy that we trust more, that we know more of. Is that fair?
Oh, very fair. I mean, especially if you've been into an AFC conference championship game and something like that, or you've been a quarterback that's capable of helping your team get to playoffs. So, yeah, you don't want the kid, right? I mean, unless the kid...
You see it.
Right. Unless the kid is different, you know, then you support that. Right. But no, it is mind-boggling at times when the decision to go with a veteran quarterback who is okay, but yet you do have this up and coming talent that you want to see what happens with it. And my personal experience obviously would be Brett Favre, you know, Chris Miller and okay, Billy Joe Tolliver and Wade Wilson. I mean, but you had Brett Favre.
You saw
it. Right. And you're like, well, wait a minute. What are we doing? Right? Seriously. But then you have the riches, like, you know, back in the day when you had Montana and, okay, you have Steve Young. Well, we're going to trade Montana, right? And I think teams try to build up stuff at times. You know, Elway, when they drafted Tommy Maddox. What was that in Denver, right? But you know, you have some teams like that. You know, I think, I don't know if Tennessee's messing around with this. I mean, Tannehill is on the last year of his contract, and it doesn't look like they want to entertain signing him, obviously, by drafting Will Levis. So what do you do? You can't cut him. You can't trade him right now because the dead cap money is too.
And he's the better option,
right? He's clearly the better option. So he's a safety. He's insurance right now, but he's expensive insurance. So what do you do? Do you extend him? What do you do with that contract? I think that's what Tennessee's thinking about right now.
To put a capper on it, when Lorenzo Alexander ended up playing for the Bills, and I talked to Zoe when I was now in Chicago, and they had some kid named Josh Allen, he saw it. Exactly what you're saying.
Right.
Like, he's like, no. He's like, this kid. Like, sometimes the kid, it's omnipresent, and we're not saying that's what it's going to be for Will Levis in Tennessee. And sometimes the vets in that locker room, like you would say, no, we know which guy is really the guy that's going to play. And I'm sure Mike Vrabel is going to figure that out.
I'll extrapolate. Lowe was at the NFL broadcast boot camp with me. And so he was already thinking about retiring.
Yes, he was.
Before they got, you know, Josh Allen. I'll say, wait a minute, let me relax on that, because you can see.
It extended his career upside. About three
exactly.
more years.
Yeah.
Speaking of, like, kind of out with the old and in with the new, Green Bay is doing that, obviously. Aaron Rodgers now a member of the Jets, and Brian Gutekunst thinks as the GM that they've done the right thing. I can't imagine a GM coming out and saying, I think we did the wrong thing, right? So I can understand where Brian's coming from here, saying it was time to move on from from Rodgers. But really, now we have to turn the page to Jordan Love. Mm-hmm. And we just had this discussion with Tennessee. I am stunned, and I feel like every time I watch either national media or whatever spectrum you want to look, it's Bears, 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 Bears. And I'm like, what am I missing? Packers are 5-1 to win this division. I don't know what Jordan Love's going to be.
Right.
But I know what the rest of the parts of that team are.
But do you know what LaFleur is going to be, though?
Ooh, without.
Without.
Ah,
that.
I didn't think of that.
Yeah. See, I think the jury's still out on LaFleur, the head coach, more so than Jordan Love. I mean, Jordan Love, at least the roster, you know, the starting point you can get behind. They're all young.
Yeah.
But they are very young. But I think what the unproven nature of this team, though, element of this team, would be LaFleur without Aaron Rodgers. I mean, it's a great situation to be in, you know, as you become a head coach. You're with Aaron Rodgers, one of the best players of all time at that position. Your job's okay. Now you have a young Jordan Love, and now you have to develop him. And so there's some moving parts right there.
I will say this. It's come down. Now it's 4-1 for the mm-hmm. Packers to win the North. So I'm stunned that they're the lowest betting favorite here on the board for the North. Mm-hmm. It does feel like a division in just shambles. Like, if the Lions are the favorite at plus $1.30. Now, look, we get it from what they did last year. They took big steps with Dan Campbell, and ironically, they ended Aaron Rodgers' career and knocked the Packers out of the regular season in the regular season finale. Packers win that game. They go back to the postseason. They don't.
Right.
So maybe they felt like the Lions were already there even with Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay. But I got to be honest with you, just when you look at the rosters, like I remember last year this time, we're talking, you and I, about the Eagles, and I'm like, well, we know Howie Roseman's got the 52, looks pretty good, but we don't know about the one. We figured out about the one.
Right.
Pretty darn good. I look at the rest of these rosters, like the Packers roster is not, I don't know that it's worse than any of the other rosters, but the question is now the head coach mm-hmm. and the quarterback.
Yeah, because from a betting standpoint, pure betting standpoint within this division, I think there's no consistency there. Like Detroit, you know, they've drafted well, but okay, is Goff the guy and all this stuff? And the consistency of the Lions from a franchise standpoint, from a talent standpoint, the Bears, where are they? You know, when you have a new head coach, a defensive-minded guy, and okay, the quarterback, is he going to become a passer? Is he really going to be a quarterback, or is he still going to be an athlete running the football? And then the Vikings, you know, the impact or lack thereof from a drafting standpoint or even in free agency. And, okay, the team was fortunate last year winning close games. And then the unknown about the Packers. I mean, it is a toss-up.
It really is.
When you consider there's no consistency in the NFC North. So do you take a flyer on Green Bay? I personally wouldn't, because of how young that team and how unproven LaFleur is right now as head coach.
We don't have time to get into it now, but you mentioned the Vikings and the Kirk Cousins situation there is fascinating to me. Talking about like the Ryan Tannehill last year of his deal. Are they going to push him out?
Yeah.
Who's the successor? What's going on in Minnesota? The draft feels like a coin toss. Mm-hmm. I don't know what they won the division last year.
I know. What's Kirk Cousins' shining moment though?
You like that?
See, that's it. There's no Super Bowl.
It's a meme.
There's no big playoff win. I mean, that's what's lacking for him, I think.
I hope we have time to get in that in hour number two. When we come back, let's go up to New York and catch up with the King of New York. Will Hill get all of his thoughts in the NBA, certainly with the Knicks and beyond. Come on back. It's the Lombardi Line here on Visa.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
BetMGM, authorized gaming partner of the NBA, hits the court with a special playoff parlay insurance offer. Place a one-game parlay of four legs or more and get back a bonus bet up to $25 if you miss just one leg. Enjoy the playoffs like never before with BetMGM's daily promotions, boosted odds specials, and parlay selection features throughout the postseason. Log in now or sign up and opt in to get back a $25 bonus bet if one leg in your one-game parlay falls short. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly and offer resources to help you Make appropriate choices. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. New and existing customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. If you have a problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Promotional offer is not available in Washington, D.C., Mississippi, Nevada, and New York. Speaking of New York, Mike Pritchard, mm-hmm. that's where we go to find the king of New York. He is Will Hill. You can follow him as I do on Twitter at Not The Will Hill. Very entertaining follow on Twitter, especially, Will, when you're getting after the officials or sometimes some of the plays that you see in this NBA postseason. I want to start right there in New York because I kidded with Michael a bit early in the program. I heard some national pundits saying that maybe it's the weather that's affecting the Knicks play down in South Beach. What's going on with the Knicks?
Well, first of all, I heard you complaining about your injuries. I don't know if you're trying to petition for a spot in the Mets pitching rotation or something with all your complaints.
I'd fit right in.
You would. I mean, look, they're just that was really ugly last night because you hate this. This is almost the worst thing you say about a team in any sport. They got out hustled. I mean, those were long rebounds. Miami, it's such a cliche when these announcers say, oh, they wanted it more. I think it's a cop out. It's just sort of a lazy analysis. Last night, it looked like the Heat wanted it more. They were just getting to loose balls. I think the Heat missed 16 shots. They got 11 of those 16 wow. back on rebounds. That just can't happen. And this is a Knicks team that's sort of known for rebounding. They bullied the Cavs on the glass. It's ugly. Now, I mean, usually these series can swing once you go home. You win a game at home and you feel better about yourself. I just don't know that the Knicks' problems are curable by just going back to the Garden. To me, Butler's clearly the best player in the series. Spoelstra's the best coach. Not only in the series, Spoelstra might be the best coach in the league, man. His team is so well coached. You look at that team, it's undrafted free agents all over the place. It's Kevin Love off the scrap heap, and they continue to find ways to win. And Brunson and Randle just don't look healthy. You can get the Heat. I think it's +4 tomorrow at DraftKings. To me, the Heat are a good bet. The Knicks just sort of look like a dead man walking. And look, they had a good year. They overachieved. This is going to be an ugly ending if it does end this way. But the Heat, it's amazing. This team was outscored on the season. They had a negative point differential. Here they are. They're mopping the floor with the Bucks. They're beating the Knicks. And they just look like a completely different team. I think we're seeing now the regular season, the NBA, and the NBA playoffs. It's always sort of been two different seasons. The gap has never been bigger, though, between what we see in the regular season and what we see in the playoffs. With all the guys sitting out, sometimes they play, sometimes they don't. Sometimes they try, sometimes they don't. There's just no rhyme or reason comparing the regular season to the playoffs.
Will, I was just about to go there because, you know, betting, and it doesn't matter the sport. I mean, any hockey expert or handicapper will tell you that it's big boy hockey now, right? And even analysts will mention that hockey is so different than it was in a regular season. I agree with you. To me, the association is about phases. Like there's no data point that I can take from the regular season into the NBA playoffs. It's been that way for me for a while too. So I'm just curious how you're navigating knowing that the season has changed in the NBA.
Yeah, I think you have to take it all into account. And you make a good point because you go back and you're trying to handicap these games, these teams, and you go back to the regular season, they might have played three or four times versus each other. And a lot of the stars sit out either in two or three mm-hmm. or sometimes all four of those games. So it's hard to get a good feel of it. But once these series start to you start to see a few games, you can sort of piece together, how these teams match up and how good they are. And playoff basketball is fun. For as bad as the regular season is night to night, and it really is an issue for the league, the NBA playoffs are a lot of fun, especially the second round where you get a good blend of, two games a night. It's not like the first round where you get a bunch of games. Sort of a March Madness feel, but the second round, you whittle down the teams. It's good games. It's good teams. It's been, a really fun second round here.
Yeah, it was fun, except when I had a ticket on the Warriors to win the West. That's not looking as fun anymore, Will, after what happened last night. I want to get to that series in a bit, but I do want to talk about tonight's game back in Boston. And it feels like the Sixers were dead after that Game 3 loss, and it was Harden, Harden, Harden. If you get Game 1 Harden, then you might be able to get back in the series. We got Game 1 Harden in Game 4, and all of a sudden we got a series. What are your plays tonight as this one shifts back to Boston?
Yeah, I don't trust Philly. I just don't trust the Harden and Embiid, combo. You never know what you're going to get from them, especially Harden. I mean, the gap between good nights and bad nights for Harden is just there's so many extremes, and you figure only with one day in between, probably more likely than not to get the bad Harden tonight. But meanwhile, the Celtics have a habit here of punting away these games where they have control of them throughout. Even Boston was up 5 points with 2 minutes left the other night. I know Philly dominated the game, but Boston has struggled in these late game scenarios. You got to give the advantage to Doc over Mazzulla. Mazzulla is a young coach. He's looked a little shook under the bright lights at times, not calling timeout the other night. I would think Boston rolls tonight. They're home. They're the better team. I mean, you think about it. We're 2-2. The two Philly wins have been buzzer beaters, basically by the a point in the last few seconds. The Celtics wins have been comfortable wins. I think we probably see more of that tonight with Boston. I didn't play it. I would lean towards laying the points. I do think Embiid under, I think it's 28.5 points. You can sort of pick your number with these depending on how much juice you want to lay at DraftKings. I do like Embiid under points. I just don't know that he can hold up for four quarters. Now, he scored 14 in the game when he first came back. He scored 30 and 34 since. But those were the two games in Philly. And the two games in Philly, he shot 27 free throws. I just have a feeling he's not going to get as friendly of a whistle in Boston. And he's like Shaq. You can call a foul on him or against him either time. Anytime he touches the ball, he's so physical. These calls can go either way. I have a feeling the calls are going to go more towards Boston's way with the game being in Boston. And there's a scenario where Boston's up, 15, late third quarter, early fourth quarter, and Doc says, all right, Embiid's got a bum knee here. Let's sort of punt on the game. Let's get ready for game six. We're home and we can maybe force a game seven and Embiid's minutes get cut down. I think that's a factor in a lot of these series where you can see these guys that are playing a lot of minutes every other night sort of get their minutes cut down if it's a blowout. So Embiid under the points is a bet for me.
Yeah, I like that play, to be honest with you, Will. Okay, let's get to the next game. Jokic can go for 50 and it doesn't matter. I mean, playoff Booker is a thing now, right? This guy's been incredible. So what are you doing with this matchup? It goes back to Denver. Ownership aside, I'm talking about on the floor. What can Denver get back to that's beneficial? We know the depth from that standpoint, the advantage to the Nuggets a little bit, but I go back to my theme about the stars canceling out each other. Murray and Jokic, and then you got Durant and Booker, but you got some other players that can step up and help it. Where are you going with this game?
Yep, I think you sort of hit on it here. Jokic and Murray are always going to play good pretty much. Booker and Durant are always going to play well, and boy, some of that shot making by Booker and Durant is just incredible. I mean, 32 out of 40 shots. Who does that? You can't do that in practice with nobody guarding you. That's just incredible. I think it's the role players. It's the Bruce Browns. It's the Porter Juniors. For Phoenix, it's Jock Landale, Shamet, who did a decent job guarding Murray and gave him another shot maker. Those role players, this has always been the story with the playoffs. The role players, for whatever reason, the crowd, they get a little lift and they play better at home, struggle on the road, and I think that swings this game. So I think Denver wins. I don't want to lay the 5.5. I think the better play here, you can bet these at DraftKings. You can bet individual quarters. You can bet Denver on the fourth quarter money line, minus 130. I think with all the minutes Booker and Durant are playing, it's going to eventually sort of catch up to them. And I think the altitude really helps Denver here, where fourth quarter could see a close game and Denver pulls away and wins the fourth quarter. So I think Denver fourth quarter money line is the play. They outscored Phoenix by 5 in game 1 in the fourth quarter at home. And the other game in Denver, game 2, they outscored them by 13 in the fourth quarter. So Denver minus 130 on the money line for the fourth quarter.
I love that handicap. That is a deep dive right there into that fourth quarter. Love the analysis there. Very quickly, I mentioned those Warriors here. They were laying 6 before their game 5. Their game 5 tomorrow night. Game 6, rather, back in Golden State. And now that's already up to 7. Will, is that a smart money move that you think the Warriors do extend this series in game 5 and try to get it back to a game 6 in L.A.?
I do. I think they win. I think they win comfortably. This series for the Lakers is really following the pattern of the Memphis series. Win game 1, get blown out in game 2, win your 2 home games with game 4 being close. Same thing happened in Memphis. Well, what happened in Memphis game 5 for the Lakers? They got down early and they just sort of not punted on the game, but Memphis won going away. I think we'll see the same thing for the Warriors. And if you're looking at player props for tomorrow, if the Warriors are up big third quarter, LeBron, Davis playing a ton of minutes, maybe go under on them because I could see them sitting out the fourth quarter and say, you know what, we'll just get ready for game 6. We can't play these guys 40-plus minutes every single night, playing every other night. So I think the Warriors win. I think they win going away. And Davis and LeBron unders would be, I think, a good look.
Yeah, really smart there, astute observation that if they're down, they'll probably look to fight on another day back in game 6 in L.A. Hey, Will, always appreciate it. There was no Mets talk today, so I'm a little disappointed about that, but it's been a rough May to start off with the Metropolitan.
We don't have any healthy Mets pitchers to talk about. I mean, Scherzer and Verlander, they're 52 years old, and they're all beat up.
Just keep Scherzer out of baseball jail, will you? There he is, everybody, the King of New York. You can follow him on Twitter as I do, at NotTheWillHill. When we come back, respectful, disrespectful, or maybe right prices for some of these teams to make or miss the postseason. That's next here in the Lombardi Line.